Welcome in to On The Mark. I'm Mark Carmen. NBA playoff basketball going on. I love it. Hope you love it as well. The Chicago Bulls have been in a tussle, somewhat surprising, with the Boston Celtics winning the first two games, but then Rajon Rondo getting hurt, which is going to have a major impact on the series. Hubie Brown doing great work forever, 30-plus years now, as far as TV is concerned, and of course, a phenomenal coach before that in the NBA, the ABA, high school, college, basically everything. Hubie was in town doing Bulls Pacers, so I caught up with him before one of the games and got to sit down with an NBA legend. So here is my conversation with Hubie, and I first started out asking him about his style, how he developed it, the three things I'm sure you remember. First, the dribble drive getting by the defender, then the pull-up on a dime, and look at the follow-through. This was on the court right before game time, Bulls and the Pacers. Hubie, how did you develop your style?
When I first started in television, 1980, I do the TV like I'm talking to my assistant coaches and to the players on the bench. Because a lot of people back at that time just thought that all of this happened, that 12 guys got together at 6:30 and played a game at 7:30. You know what I'm saying? Because back then there was a lot of continuities, a lot of sets, you know, and things of that nature. So you're trying to always teach the assistants as well as the guys on the bench what's happening and why it's happening. So that's why I do the same thing with the fan, because I think that when they say analyst, you're supposed to be breaking down of what is happening or not happening and why. Why it's not happening. That's how the fan can improve his knowledge of the game.
If Hubie Brown had a MVP vote, who would you give it to?
I vote, okay? So we're not allowed to not allowed to give out how we voted, okay? But let's face it, this is an interesting year. And when you look at it, it could be any one of five guys. And I have always felt all year long that Isaiah Thomas belongs in this because of what he has done in the fourth quarter at 5'9", because without him in the fourth quarter, Boston might not be in the top four because of his pressurized scoring and assists and going to the foul line. And you think about it, it's a little guy attempted over 640 foul shots. I mean, that's incredible for a guy 5'9", taking all that punishment. And then shoot 91%. 91%. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So it's a tough call.
So when you look at how the game has changed to bigs now, like, I mean, back when you're a coach in the Knicks, there's Bill Cartwright in the post. Now you got Kristaps Porzingis shoot, you know, 25-footers. Do you ever see it going back to a bang-it-in-the-post type of game, or is this here to stay?
Well, I think that everything will stay with this until these teams that are taking 30 and 40 three-point game win a championship. Yeah. Now, don't put Golden State in there because the Golden State offense is very complicated, and there's a lot of back screening on the wings and down screening and double screening and taking advantage of you on the other side of the floor if you're running pick and roll. They don't stand around. They're running old-time basketball on both sides of the floor, but because of their three-point shooting ability, they make you play them 50 feet wide. Yeah. Now, you see now a lot of these other people just come down and stand around, and then they shoot threes. Yeah. Now, will it change? I would just like to say that because we coached there in the 70s and the 80s, the beauty of the game was the continuity and then also the team play of chemistry, okay? Yeah. Now, once you take away hand-checking, once you take away the forearm on the dribbler, where you could stop him, just freeze him with a forearm like they do in football, right. Once they eliminated that, and then they put in this new thing called a flagrant one and flagrant two, which cuts down on your shot blocking ability now. We have created a freeway to the basket for guards and small forwards. So we've made the game easy for them to get to the rim. Because if you can't get to the rim today with no hand checking and forearm and the threat of the shot block, okay, Now, you couldn't have played and started and did anywhere near your numbers in the 70s and 80s and 90s.
So I'm wondering, you saying all that, to me, it's not, you're maybe keeping guys safer and your stars healthy, but it's not better for the game. Like, people like to see hard-nosed basketball. I grew up in the Bulls, Pistons, Knicks era. Those were great games, highly, hotly contested, and guys ended up on the floor, and that was part of it.
Look, I talked to a coach the other day on a radio show. He was an ex-coach. He loves today's basketball. Well, I'm just the opposite, okay? Because I would like to see us get back to offensive rebounding, you know, and then also pivot play, guys learning how to play in the post, whether you were a guard or a front court player. But I realized that once NFL football said, no touching those flankers and slot guys beyond 5 yards, we want more scoring. Well, that's what we have in the NBA. David Stern says, we want more scoring. Now think about it. Back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, if you had three or four teams scoring over 100 points, that was a lot. This past year, 29 of the 30 teams scored over 100 points. Only Dallas didn't score 100 points. So it's a new way of playing. You have to adjust to how the game is played. It doesn't mean that you like the game, because there's a lot of purists who still feel that the three-point line ruined the game. Okay, now a lot of all-time guys and a lot of purists will say, take away the three, and now what do you got? Let's see what you got.
What was your thought, if you can remember, back at the time when they first put the three-point line in? Were you like, this is good or bad?
Well, I was in the NBA. The ABA had it for 9 years. So when I went to the ABA to coach Kentucky, it was a major adjustment, because through high school, college, teaching, coaching, now all of a sudden NBA, now you go to the ABA and they're shooting, you know, not only the three-point line, you could play zone. And nobody fouled out, because what they did was, if the guy made his sixth foul, he didn't go out of the game. You could keep him in the game, but everything was a technical and the ball on the side. So it was unique. Now, I thought that would be something. You say, why did the ABA do that? To keep the great players in the game for the fan who paid the money to come to those places to see the players, that they would not be disappointed that they didn't play their minutes. Pretty good now. It was really a good rule.
Yeah. Real quick. Thoughts on LeBron and where he's at and what he's doing. Just a phenomenal performance last night. Everybody likes to compare him to Michael, which I think is unfair. They're different style players and all that. But I'm sure people ask you all that. Can LeBron go down as the greatest player ever?
First of all, to say the greatest player ever, you got to wait until the guy retires. And let's see what the bottom line says at that time. I'm not one that anoints guys and puts them in that kind of a situation. What he's doing right now is what his talent base has always been. Because people forget when he came in, the Newsayers who all wanted Michael Jordan to have that kind of a reputation. All of a sudden, here's this 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old kid doing all of this. Now, it's great to see that he could turn it on like he did in games 5, 6, and 7 a year ago. Not too many people in the history of this game could do what he did. Okay, now think about the numbers now that he put up. 240s, never mind the rebounding and assists, and then a triple-double in the final. Now that's what he had to do yesterday. They had to win that game yesterday, and he, forget the points, forget the shooting, he played 45 minutes. See, everybody overlooked that yesterday. Come on, if you're going to anoint, the triple-double was there, but they needed his 45 minutes or they would have lost that game yesterday. So I've been a big fan of his since he was 18. But you see, when you start seeing guys as he's moving along now in the scoring, like Kobe is now 30 past Michael. Well, Michael went to college for 3 years. Kobe came right in. So that's 3 years of basketball of points. Because Kareem is first, 4 years of college. Karl Malone is second, 3 years of college. Now Kobe's third with no college. So then you got Michael and then Wilt. Well, Wilt went 3 years of college and 1 year with the Globetrotters. So wait, why? Because at that time, you couldn't come in the league until 4 years past your high school graduation was up. So to me, a lot of those old-time guys now, they'll be bypassed because, as you can see, LeBron James is moving, okay? And he'll probably catch Nowitzki easy, all right? And then all of a sudden he'll be after Wilt at five, and he's going to be moving, okay? Because of – and I always feel that I'm sorry. See, you have to give the older guys their due because of their commitment to college. Or they would have been in this league scoring 2,000 points, the people that we're talking about, okay, every year. All right. So to me, it's like I was talking to a great scorer at the Hall of Fame 3 years ago. And this guy was a leading scorer in the league for a number of years. I said to this person, without hand-checking and the forearm, and the hard foul putting you down in the paint where you got up and that guy was still in the game, what do you think you could score today? And the guy looked at me and he said, if I couldn't get 40, I'd give you the check back. Pretty good now.
Yeah.
Because we've created a freeway to the basket today.
Yeah. QB, appreciate the time. Last one, I know you got a game, I'll save your voice here. If you could go back and do it again, coach longer, get into broadcasting earlier, do it the way you did it. Did you feel like maybe you left a little bit like, oh, I would have liked to have coached more? Do you look at that at all?
Well, look, I coached for 32 years when you consider high school and college and assistant and then in the pros. So, no, for me it was a good time to decide whether I could be any good at television. Okay, I had done it for a year with USA in 81. People forget they did the games on Thursday night before Turner. You know, and then I did it part time if our team never didn't make the playoff for CBS. But then once it happened, I decided to give it a try. Well, this is my 30th year of full time television, so I can't say that it was a bad move. It was a good move because then it allowed us to do the clinics that we were doing, not only for coaches in the United States, but around the world. So, and you throw in the 40 years, the only thing that, see, when a gentleman just asked me in the hallway, he said, Juby, we've been together many years here. He said, what do you miss the most? I said, you miss the teaching, the practices, the coaches. I said, as you get older and you get in your 80s, you don't miss all the flights, okay? You see, so, but doing clinics for 40 years for coaches all around the world took up what you were missing by doing television. See, because there you were teaching, whether it was in foreign countries or whether it was on courts in the United States, at these big clinics that they put on.
And it's not the same, but you're teaching every night on the air. People love it. You're a basketball treasure, Hubie Brown. People appreciate you.
Well, you're very kind. I appreciate it very much. This is a long-winded interview.
I enjoyed every minute of it.
Okay, thanks again.
The great Hubie Brown, thanks for listening and thanks for checking out On the Mark with you as often as I can be trying to talk to the movers and shakers in the sports world. Great to talk with an NBA legend, Hubie Brown.